Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, Mighty Peach? I think I saw them at Lilith Fair in 1997. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I am joined, as I am always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about the news from the week, including just what is 2024 in video games. And then on Thursday, it's either a recap of the partner showcase or week four of Mario vs. Donkey Kong month. But Mark, we'll figure that out later. In the meantime, how's it going?
It's going great. I feel like it is Mario versus Donkey Kong month.
No matter what.
And exactly. So whether
banana.
And my forthcoming catchphrase, of course.
Right. I'm not even going to ask you for it now. I know you're working on
it. Yeah, it's not. It is. It's like it's simmering. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And we are pointedly right now not talking about it.
But yeah, I think whether we talk about Mario versus Donkey Kong this week or not, in our hearts, we all know
that
it's Mario versus Donkey Kong month.
Right, and we're playing Mario versus Donkey Kong right now.
Yep.
Not like as we speak, but like we're both playing the game.
That's right.
So it's like it's in our brains, it's in our blood, all of that.
Uh-huh.
I only really realized it as I was reading our cold open joke, but is that too much of a Dennis Miller joke? Does it feel like Dennis Miller?
Okay, no, this is a good question.
I think I saw them at Lilith Fair, babe. It's a reference for the rest of the old Super
Right,
listen to
yeah,
this.
Exactly. Yes. It's definitely of 1997. So.
Yeah, that's right. Like I'm hosting Weekend Update.
Exactly.
What are we doing? Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society, you should go and check that out because if you are supporting us there at the 8 or 16-bit levels, you can get access to our once-a-month episodes of miniseries that we put out. We are currently working our way through NCS Arcade.
That's right. That is a miniseries where Patrick and I are playing through games on Nintendo Switch Online or Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack that we have never beaten before. And the first episode last month was about The Legend of Zelda The Minish Cap, and we had a really good conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
And forthcoming very soon will be an episode about the Nintendo 64 game, Jet Force Gemini. I was about to say classic. And I guess it is of a sort. But yeah, so the Nintendo 64 classic, Jet Force Gemini from Rare. And I am really looking forward to talking about that one, too.
Yeah, and we're going to be recording that conversation this coming weekend. So if you have any input, anything that you would like us to read on the show or discuss on the show, all you got to do is email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. And we will include your thoughts in the show.
Yeah, and like we talked about last week, I am super interested hearing from people who are playing it for the first time and also people who played it in the past and have like experiences with it from when it was originally released.
Yeah, it feels like a very strange game, and we are going to only have our own perspectives on it, so please let us borrow yours as well. While you're emailing us, you may as well use that to get into our Discord where people are having conversations about Nintendo and this show. And I know we're going to be in there talking about the partner showcase on Wednesday. So if you haven't already, email us NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. We will send you an invitation so you can participate in that conversation. Mark, this week, my first issue. The first issue of my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles source book, the book that I wrote about the IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, comes out.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. This is super exciting.
They have sent me my comp copies. I have them. I've touched it. It is a big, beefy volume of articles about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's very exciting that this thing is like in the world.
And people can pick it up at their comic book stores on Wednesday.
Yep. And so I urge you to do that if it interests you at all. All right, Mark, let's get into what we've been playing this week. been playing some games, but it feels like we can't really talk about them here or now.
No, that's right. We've been playing Mario versus Donkey Kong and Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, so, you know, like, that's we've got episodes coming up that will be dedicated to both those games. But I think I just want to do, like, a quick sort of, like, overview of, like, Mario versus Donkey Kong. Just some, like, kind of, you know, like, a little snapshot stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I am playing it sort of twice right now. I'm playing with Sarah when she wants to play, and we do the two-player co-op, which is a lot of fun. And it's fun when she doesn't, like, listen or, like, want to cooperate in the stages. It's fun to try and, like, wrestle it control away from each other.
Yeah, I haven't played co-op at all. And the game really, I don't know if it wants you to, but it wants you to know that it's an option, because on the menu every time, there's like Toad up there at the top.
Yeah, being like, don't you want to play co-op? Connect another controller.
So how does it change the game? Like, how does it work when you have two people playing?
Yeah.
Are the puzzles different? Is it?
So the only thing that's different is that there is one extra key that you have to get. So there is a silver key and a gold key, right? The gold key is the, you know, the key that you have to get throughout the course of the level anyway. But there's like a silver key that the other player, the one who doesn't have the gold key, needs to take to the door. And if you die, then the key goes back, right?
Are they in the same place?
No, they're in separate places. Oh, it's just like another collectible thing to have to pick up.
So since you've played them twice, like, but otherwise, like, the
everything else seems the
levels
same.
Don't,
yeah.
The levels don't really change. And so the silver key is just placed in the location. Because some of the puzzles,
it's placed in a location where it's just like you have to go over there and get it. Like, it's it's not taking the place of another collectible. It is just like another one.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, they must have. It's interesting that they were able to retrofit the game to support it, because I'm just going through my mind some of the puzzles I played, and I haven't really thought about it, so maybe it's not that hard. But some of them seem like kind of like one way type things. So the fact that they were able to put co-op into this game that was a puzzle game that wasn't designed for it is kind of cool.
I mean, it's a lot of like in the same area as the gold key, so that both players need to get over there, grab something, and then get back to the door.
What about the levels with like the mini Mario toys?
So the mini Marios only follow the Mario player,
but both people can run around.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And then for the Donkey Kong battles, are those the same?
They're
it's
the
like
same.
Still,
yeah.
Just like you have to hit him four times.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And there's just two of you on the screen to take damage. You share the same like health bar, basically. But you have twice as many opportunities to, you know, actually pull off an attack against Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. That's interesting. It seems like it could be fun.
It is fun. It is fun, and I am finding that the game is overall pretty short, right? And the first half of the game is quite easy, but I just find it infinitely more engaging with the second player in those early levels. I don't know if you can actually play the after you finish the eight levels, you get to they serve you up like a new set of levels, and I don't know if you can do those co-op or not.
Mm-hmm.
But those are much more interesting for reasons we will talk about later. It is very cool that co-op is in this thing. Also, I gotta say, you know, I've watched some like comparison videos to, you know, people comparing it to the original, and I forgot how ugly the graphics in the original game were, because it's doing the like Donkey Kong Country kind of thing with like pre-rendered sprites, but then they're like reduced down to these tiny GBA sprites, and they just look like a muddy mess. And playing this new version of it, I'm like, oh, this fixes all of that. Even though it's like the sort of, you know, bog standard new Super Mario Brothers style graphics.
Right.
It just works here, you know? And then, okay, you've been playing Mario versus Donkey Kong. You've been playing Jet Force Gemini. We can't and won't talk about any of that.
That's right.
So let us instead talk about the new releases and what we might be playing next week.
So tomorrow, Wednesday, February 21st, Bandletale, a League of Legends story, is released on Switch. And this was in the September 2023 Direct.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a spin-off of League of Legends. Totally different type of gameplay is my understanding, right? Like, set takes place in the world of League of Legends, but otherwise, that's it. The reason I think this is interesting is, one, I don't think I will play this, but the when the trailer looked cute, like, it looked like a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we're going to be talking a little bit later in the show about, like, what is going on in video games in 2024. And
yes.
Riot, who is the developer and publisher of League of Legends, had this initiative that started a few years ago to be like, okay, we're going to hire third parties to develop games in the League of Legends universe, and this is, like, a thing we're going to do. And earlier this year, they were like, just kidding. We are no longer going to do this. We're really just we're laying off a bunch of people.
Right.
We are focusing in on just a few select projects.
Do we know what those projects are? I believe it's called Project L, the, like, fighting game using those characters. Do we know if that's still coming?
I think that is still coming.
Okay, because I know, like, the fighting game community is very much into it.
Yeah, I think that is still coming. But yeah, so this is a curiosity in that this is the last, I think there were two of them. One that came out last year,
right,
and then Bandletale, which will release on Wednesday, and then that marks the end of this little venture. And then on Thursday, February 22nd, a game called Open Roads is released. This is a what is the company, like, Annapurna?
Yep.
And it was announced at the 2020 Game Awards. It's a point and click, like, adventure game that is a murder. There's a mystery of some kind.
Okay,
with like a daughter and a mom, and
uh-huh.
The world is rendered in 3D, but the characters are, like, hand drawn animation.
Okay, yeah, and they almost look kind of like Don Bluthy.
Yes, they look very Don Bluthy, like,
okay,
right out of Anastasia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mom is voiced by Carrie Russell, and the daughter is voiced by a actor whose name I'm blanking on, but she was just announced as joining the cast of The Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, Caitlin Devers.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, from Booksmart.
I think so. And
do you know who this actor is?
And
I'm looking it up.
And in 2022 or 2021, there was a article in Polygon about the development of the game and the, like, producer at the time, and kind of the difficulties people are having working under him. And so he's since left the project. I don't know. It seems really interesting, messy development, but from what I've read, the people who worked on it put a lot of themselves into it. And so I'm interested in checking it out. It comes out Thursday, and I was looking today to see if there were any reviews, and I saw some positive previews, but I haven't seen any
reviews
drop
yet.
So, and then also on Thursday, while you're
I have looked it up. It is Caitlin Dever, and it says in parentheses, Booksmart, Uncharted 4. But that Uncharted 4 thing, that's a little bit of a spoiler. but yes, she's from Booksmart and will be Abby in The Last of Us Part 2. I just wanted to point out that there is a movie called The Open Road. Wait, what is this? Hold on, I'm clicking through. Yeah, there's a movie from 2009 called The Open Road.
Okay.
And that has Justin Timberlake, Ted Danson, Harry Dean Stanton, Mary Steenburgen, Jeff Bridges. So it's got a stacked cast too.
Wow. But this is that sounds amazing. But we just need to make clear that this game that's coming out on Thursday is not a video game
adaptation of The Open Road.
It's also not, has no relation to Open Season, the animated movies from like 2009, I'm going to guess.
Right. And it's got no relationship to Country Roads, that song.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
John Denver song.
I think we've covered everything we need to. With Open Roads.
Yep.
Also on Thursday, February 22nd, the Side Order DLC for Splatoon 3 is released.
Which is exciting because all early, like, previews for it have been positive, and people seem very into the sort of roguelike loop of this game mode, which is enough, Mark, to pull me back into Splatoon.
Well, so I was wondering where you came down on Because I think legally we said you weren't obligated to buy it. It was not part of Patrick
right.
buys everything that Nintendo releases in 2024 that isn't like merchandise on the official Nintendo shop unless he wants to.
I think you gave me the out, which was very generous of you. But it is something that came out this year, even if I could originally pay for it last year.
Okay, but I guess what I'm asking, I mean, okay. But what I but I guess what I'm asking is,
yeah.
are you buying it out of obligation, or are you buying, like, an obligation that you feel
right,
and that legally you're not required to do, or are you buying it because, like, you're actually interested in playing Side Order?
So both things are true. I think that I do have to buy it because it is coming out this year, right? It is on our release dates for February 22nd, 2024. I think that means it comes out this year, therefore I have to buy it. But also, like, I like Splatoon a lot, but I always find the just like turf wars and like these sort of like online mode to be like just a little like tough for me. It's not really how I like to interface with games. But a roguelike mode where I'm like ascending a tower and getting a little bit better every time, that is absolutely my jam. I want to play it, and I think I am legally required to play it.
So it's a good thing that you are looking forward to playing it then.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So I like that we have now determined it as the law that I have to.
the law of the show.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's a law too. Uh-huh. Yeah. You're right.
And we're busy constructing a jail of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So we can lock you and other offenders up.
Right.
If we need to.
And I can see a constructing gallows outside, which I don't know that I like.
Just a contingency
plan. I don't plan on breaking the law.
Yeah, no,
but
that's
like,
fine. All right. Well, what if we have a guest on and, you know, like.
Great point.
We're contingency plans. That's all it is.
Very good. All right. So that's what's coming out next week. Let's close this segment out. Which brings us to a regular segment on our show. It is time for 433. In 1952, American composer John Cage wrote a piece called 433, wherein a performer or a group of performers didn't play their instruments for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. For the purposes of this show, our instruments are talking about Nintendo. So, for the duration of one performance of 433, Mark and I will talk about something not at all Nintendo-related, thus fulfilling the contract of the piece. Thank you to Jake in the Discord for the suggestion for this week's 433. We are going to be ranking cookies.
Yes, and before we could rank them, we have to generate a list.
Right, so we're going to generate a list of 10 cookies.
Yep.
And I think chocolate chip has to go right. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be number one.
It's the first one that we're adding to the list.
Right. And then I think after the second one after that has to be Oreo.
Yep. I'm going to put Snickerdoodle on here.
Snickerdoodle is a great one. Yep.
I definitely think we need a... oatmeal
and
something, or do we just do
oatmeal raisin? Okay. That's sort of like the uh-huh. the classic. We're already starting to get like a little bit more wild here.
Well,
we
just
right?
got a sugar cookie. We'll just
sure
do, like, a
regular
sugar
old sugar cookie.
What about those like butter cookies? Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
like, those, like chessmen things.
Yeah, that almost always have like the fork imprint on the top of them, right?
Is that what they?
I don't know. Oh no, the ones that are like. That are sometimes in that like knot shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's. But butter cookie sounds like the way to describe that.
Okay.
All
right. Let's see. 1, 2, 3.
That's six so far.
Okay.
Four more cookies.
A peanut butter cookie.
Peanut butter cookie. That's a great one. What about like a chocolate chip?
Or
like maybe macadamia nut cookies. Another one.
Uh-huh.
Like a separate one. And then I think we just need one more after
okay,
that.
Okay, I'm not ginger snap. How about a ginger snap?
Yeah, put a ginger snap on there.
Are we missing any big
any like major
cookies?
Ones?
Any yeah.
I mean, we're missing are those cookies though? I was going to say like those kind of like wafer ones where it's like it's like a sandwich cookie kind of thing,
yes.
but it's like a wafer and then like thin cream and a wafer and then thin cream and then wafer.
Yeah.
I
know what you're talking. I want to say I know what you're talking about here. Here's an, and yes, let's just put them on there as like wafer cookie.
Sure.
And then I know this 433 is not, let's list all the cookies we know, but what about those?
Let's list a couple more cookies.
What about those? That I have not had since I was a kid, but they're like pink and white and totally frosted, and they have like sprinkles on them. They come in a big bag. And I think they're animal shaped, maybe.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
They're like circus.
They're like animal cookies.
Oh, animal crackers.
Right.
Does that just go on this? I mean, the animal crackers are a separate thing from what I'm talking about.
Right.
But there are
animal crackers that are pink and frosted and have like sprinkles on them.
Let's just go with animal crackers and we'll call it good.
Okay.
Unless there's any other cookie that you feel strongly about that you can think of off the top of your head. No pressure.
No. Let's do that because we have startlingly little time left in 4:33. I think chocolate chip cookies. We set them first, but like
they are number one.
Is there a better cookie
with or without nuts?
No nuts.
No nuts. I'm a no nuts person too.
Well, you're allergic to nuts.
I know, but like even if I wasn't, get them out of there.
I am in love with the tone of your voice when you said I know. That was remarkable. I loved it. And then the rest of the cookies are all tied for second. We were accompanied today by the Berliner Philharmoniker.
Maybe next week we'll actually rank them.
I don't think that's true. Let's get into the news. It's a doozy.
All right. First things first. After Nintendo toyed with our heart. Well, actually, they didn't really toy with our heart.
We toyed with our own hearts.
Last week, after we toyed with our own hearts about the possibility of some sort of Nintendo presentation, yesterday, Nintendo confirmed that they are going to have, I guess really announced, that not really confirmed.
They did both things at once. They confirmed our suspicions, but as from their perspective, they announced.
Yes.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Very strange.
Pacific time.
A partner showcase for this Wednesday, February 21st at 6 a.m. Pacific time. And it's a like video on demand. So, you know, normally when there's a major Nintendo Direct, Nintendo streams them live so you can't scrub ahead.
Right.
To, you know, see what the end is. So if you want, as soon as it's at 6 a.m., to go to the end of the presentation to see if Silk Song is like one last thing, you absolutely can do that.
It kind of implies there is no like one more thing, you know?
But, definitely. And so they've said that this partner showcase will include 25 minutes of games from Nintendo's publishing and development partners, focusing on games coming out in the first half of 2024.
So a lot of sort of the standard language that we get for directs, first half of 2024, fine, that makes sense. I bet we'll see at least one game with a July release date, maybe even an August.
Yep.
I do think the publishing and development partners is interesting because it almost implies that there could be games developed not by Nintendo that are published by Nintendo.
Yeah, that is interesting.
There's room for that. It doesn't mean that that's what is happening, but they shout out specifically development and publishing partners.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, that is a good point.
Hey, thank you.
I hadn't really thought about that.
I meant, tell me it was a good point again.
That is a good point.
I know.
Because I wish I don't have the language from like the June 2022 announcement in front of me, Nintendo didn't have a big June Direct in June 2022, but they did have a partner showcase that was basically the Nintendo Direct with the Nintendo first party stuff removed, and it was a pretty strong showing. And so that is the level that I hope this one is on, and not like the partner showcases that we got in 2020, which were generally pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean 2020 just in general was like a weird year for Direct, but yeah, that I don't know if it was the first partner showcase that they did during the pandemic that was just like just felt like it was coming to it just felt bad. It felt bad to watch it.
Yep. So yeah, we will probably be talking about it one way or the other on Wednesday.
One way or another, we will talk about it.
Nintendo released a trailer last week showing off more of Peach's transformations in the upcoming Princess Peach Showtime game, bringing the total number of transformations revealed up to this point to 9. And
we're seeing a lot of this game. But I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, the more transformations they announce, the more curious I am what this game is. How, because the way that they presented it is that each play that is happening at the theater sparks a transformation. And so I'm just wondering, like, when there were, you know, originally like four transformations or five transformations, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, so maybe each one is
its own level,
its own like series of levels, sure. like a boss yeah. and everything. Mm-hmm. But the more that they add, it's either the game is very long,
mm-hmm.
or maybe not very long, but like the game is, you know, like expansive, or you're just doing these transformations for a little bit of time, or maybe something totally different that I'm not comprehending.
Yes, which is exactly where I feel right now, where I'm like, I don't have any kind. Well, especially so the four transformations just by name here are Figure Skater Peach, Dashing Thief Peach, Mermaid Peach, and Mighty Peach. And Mighty Peach is like a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, right? And just in that transformation, we see two different styles of gameplay. There's like a beat-em-up sort of portion, and then there's like a shoot-em-up where she's like flying through the air, shooting things. So it's like, even if each transformation, to my mind, was like representing a different style of gameplay, there are multiple styles of gameplay within this one transformation.
Yeah.
So what is happening here?
And we're not that far away from the game.
No, it's true.
We're like a month away.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep expecting, you know, they've been really piecemealing these, and it is fun to see all the different transformations. I think Peach is a great character to do this with.
I agree. Yeah.
And so I think that part of it is really fun. I'm looking forward to this game. I am also just looking forward to Nintendo kind of explaining what it is. Like, it feels like we're due at some point in the next couple of weeks for kind of like a blowout. Maybe not a Princess Peach Showtime Direct, but like a trailer that gives a little bit more insight yeah. into the like moment-to-moment gameplay of it.
I do wonder though, because like Nintendo so far this year, they've had these two first party releases, Another Code and Mario versus Donkey Kong, and they've not really treated either one of those as like big deep dive worthy style games. They've not had any like, you know, developer interviews or anything like that, really. It's just been like sort of regular trailers, and then the games come out. I wonder if that's their plan for this game as well, or like, but it's the only original game they're putting out this year as far as we know.
Yeah, it's also a like a showcase for Princess Peach.
Yeah.
And so I hope that the game is good.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it would be fun to see a like ask the developer about this game,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Like the genesis of it, mm-hmm. and how they chose these different transformations and ones that like didn't make it, like ones on the cutting room floor, like that,
yes,
kind of stuff.
Totally.
The development of this game I would be interested in learning about as well.
Well, and like just as you were sort of like steering into like framing it as an exploration of Princess Peach, like that's such a good angle for any of the sort of supplementary material around advertising this game. Like, it's such a clear narrative. That's what you run with. You can get anyone at Nintendo to talk about what Peach means to the franchise, what she means to the fans, and like just blow it out from there.
Maybe we just need to somehow telegraph to them, like, you know, with Tears of the Kingdom, we learned that they did that Aonuma narrated,
right.
You know, where he shows up.
Yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe we just need to telegraph that to Nintendo somehow that, hey, we're interested, we're in, but we don't understand what this is.
Right, yes. So this is us putting that out there. Nintendo, we don't know what this game is yet, so show us, please.
But do we want to dive into each of the four different ones here? Maybe just hit the highlights?
Yeah, let's just hit some highlights.
So Figure Skater Peach, I think you can probably guess how that will work. Dashing Thief Peach, is like you have a bunch of gadgets and things like that. You're like a super spy,
which is pretty cool.
Mermaid Peach,
she swims around. She sings songs to control fish.
That's awesome.
That's very good.
And then, like you said, Mighty Peach is kind of this like Power Rangers type character.
I mean, those are joining Ninja Peach and Cowgirl Peach. And then the three that we saw in the original one, Kung Fu Peach, Sword Fighter Peach,
and Patissiere Peach.
That's right. Yes.
Is that it? I feel like we're missing.
Are we missing one?
Maybe not. Maybe that's it.
Just like
I guess nine. We said
Peach.
Nine,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's it. Okay. Switch 2 rumors.
Yes.
I feel like we're reaching...
Switch 2 rumor. I think we only have one right now.
Yeah, that's true. So where we were last week was, hey, probably partner showcase this week.
Mm-hmm.
That part turned out to be off by a few days. Plus, reveal of new Nintendo hardware in March. That was the rumor.
That was the rumor, right.
Then this week, maybe over the weekend, we got a new rumor that started on a Brazil Nintendo podcast where one of the hosts of the show was talking about that they had heard
from five separate sources
that Nintendo was delaying their new hardware to the beginning of 2025.
The early months of 2025.
Which, as far as like release schedule goes, or release timing goes, would line up with what they did with the Switch,
mm-hmm.
which was released in March of 2017.
Mm-hmm. March 3rd.
And so that kind of opened up the floodgates. Eurogamer corroborated it from their own sources.
As did VGC.
I wasn't sure if VGC like corroborated it or if they were just reporting on it.
It's hard to say. There's a lot of both corroboration and just people reporting, other people reporting it. But like it is on basically every reputable game news site
yes.
at this point.
And Eurogamer is saying they heard it from like third party developers/publishers that Nintendo had informed them
right.
that the release of new hardware was being pushed back to the beginning of 2025. So, that's it. That's where things stand.
Right.
We still have, we don't have, nobody has any idea.
Right.
But.
And no official word from Nintendo, who, by the way, has yet to confirm that there is a Switch 2.
right.
you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So, the sort of, like, dominant headline from this is, like, Switch 2 delayed. And it's like, well, I mean, maybe internally they've changed, but, like, they have not announced anything. Yeah, nothing has been announced, therefore nothing has been delayed.
So two things that spring to mind is that, let's say that both things are true, that Nintendo planned to announce new hardware in March, and also that it has been delayed for release until the beginning of 2025. It doesn't make sense to me that they would do like a blowout of the hardware
this
far in advance or anything like that.
A year in advance? No way.
But it also feels like they're kind of in a different place than they were, but with the 3DS in like, I think basically March, the year before it was released, they just had a press release that said, hey, basically this thing is coming.
Right.
And then at E3, they showed it off and then it came out the next year.
Right.
So like, again, assuming both rumors are true. Maybe that's what we're talking about, is just like an acknowledgement from Nintendo that it's coming.
Yeah.
And then more details later.
I mean, the question that it really opens up for me is like, if, because obviously, you know, Nintendo is very good at having some big, compelling first party title to launch with or shortly after the release of new hardware. And if they were, you know, like sort of mapping out their year and we're like, yes, you know, around October, November, whatever, that's when we're going to have like a big hit like that. But now we are not going to have that. Is that something that they need to replace in the lineup with some other kind of re-release or something? Or do they put one of those games out that was going to be probably, you know, cross-generational anyway? Do they put it out just on its own? Or what... How do they formulate the rest of their year, and we won't know until probably June.
Right, and although it will be interesting to see when they kick off their new fiscal year in April. Let's say that they haven't announced their
new hardware yet.
And I can't remember exactly when Nintendo talks about these numbers for the first time, but they will give guidance historically on, you know, like the fiscal year ahead,
right?
You know, like how many Switches they expect to sell, how many units of software they expect to sell. And so maybe there will be some tea leaf reading in there that we can do to see like what their own internal expectations are
yeah
for the year.
But boy, here's the thing that's so tough about that is just like they just had a pretty good holiday season, right? Like with Super Mario Brothers Wonder and Tears of the Kingdom being out there. You know, we talked about it, I think, last week that they were reporting like a higher number of first-time Switch buyers than they were expecting. They revised their numbers for the year up. And if they get themselves into a situation where they have to reveal the next generation of Switch before the Christmas season, they're going to like cannibalize their own holiday, right? Like holiday 2024 for Nintendo just will not be as strong as holiday 2023.
That's true, but also the console will be in what, its eighth or ninth year or something?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think declines wouldn't be the end of the world. I think they just, the cratering would be the end of the world.
Right, yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, and Nintendo was just like acknowledges like the Japanese company with like the most money on hand or something. So like they can take a bad Christmas, like that's okay.
But it definitely is different from the Wii U to Switch transition, where
absolutely,
they kind of like teased it in October and they had nothing to lose because it's not like Wii U's.
No one was going to buy a Wii U for Christmas that year. Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, the second thing I want to point out in all of this is that, like, 2 years ago, you or at least definitely the beginning of 2023, you predicted that there would be no new Nintendo hardware until 2025.
That's right. And I am not often right, but I think in this case I am right.
I think, you know, the year has not revealed itself yet, but it is definitely leaning that way, seemingly, for sure. And at the time, I thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
like
here we are, and
yep. Crazy like a fox.
I don't know. I who knows what next week will bring, right?
True.
It feels. But,
who knows what tomorrow will bring?
But there is so much discussion about new Nintendo hardware, and I think it's hard. Obviously, as like enthusiasts, we have a whole podcast about it. We are tuned in and care about next Nintendo hardware,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
like you know, we're early adopters, and so we have had a Switch for a lot of years, and you know, comparing it to other systems is kind of long in the tooth and all that kind of stuff. But then also, like you said, they are still selling a bunch of them. And
right.
So threading that needle, I think, just gets harder and harder.
It's super difficult, especially in, and we're going to get to it as we talk about the next upcoming news items here, where we veer off the Nintendo path. It does not look like it's going to be a good year in terms of business for video games at large.
That's right. I mean, just kind of like jumping ahead, Microsoft does, I guess they have like some big games.
They got some big games,
but they're like and they now have all the Activision Blizzard stuff, so you know they'll have Call of Duty
right.
and all that. But as far as like Xbox Studios, it doesn't seem like they have a huge like mainline game in any of their big franchises, which I guess at this point is Halo, Forza, I don't really know. And then
then
PlayStation also has just straight up said that we don't have any new entries in our big, you know, like franchises coming this year. So
yeah, it's just
and then if Nintendo doesn't have new hardware, so they are maybe sitting on games for early next year, then what is 2024? And we're not getting a Nintendo Direct, you know, in
February. Yeah, we just don't know at this point.
I will say Nintendo has some cards up its sleeve, probably, because with, you know, there's going to be, if there's not a Pokemon game this year, then we're really in uncharted waters.
Right.
But presumably there will be a Pokemon game. Maybe time to holiday, right? And so depending on what that game is, could be a big sales driver for the year. They've had many years where Pokemon was kind of it in November,
right?
And that's what they led with. Also, you know, at least based on speculation, Fire Emblem Engage was finished for a while before they released it. Same with like Metroid Prime Remastered.
Yeah, I
so
mean,
what else are they sitting on that they could
I was thinking about that for Fire Emblem Engage. So it is tempting to be like, they've got to have like another one just about ready to go. But also, like, the game did just come out last year, and they have been, like, if you look at the mainline releases in the Fire Emblem series, you know, Three Houses came out in 2019, and the last, like, not remake one of these things came out in, like, 2015 or something like that. So, like, there is, like, a lot of time between these games, right? Like, the Intelligent Systems takes a while to make a Fire Emblem game.
Totally. And I think more my point was not, like, Fire Emblem specifically, but just, like, what else are they sitting on?
Right,
you know,
yes.
That potentially has been finished for a while, and so, yeah, maybe the studio has moved, the developers have moved on to something else, but they still have this in their arsenal for them to deploy later this year.
But also, like, deployed, like, in their arsenal to deploy with the new hardware, right? Like, I think there's a lot of that that they, like, if they hold stuff that, like, that's part of the reason why the Breath of the Wild release date was what it was, is because they timed it to put it out on Switch. It could have come out on Wii U earlier, right?
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is that if they have, like, a, let's say, Fire Emblem Engage caliber game.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily need to be cross-generation. Like, they're not... It seems like Nintendo sits on a lot of releases while, and so maybe they have some of those, like, you know, solid triples that they can roll out. Doesn't mean they're going to have a blockbuster year. Also, we knew... not that I think there's a game of this caliber coming, necessarily, but we didn't know anything about Super Mario Bros. Wonder until June.
Right.
And that was, you know, obviously a big deal for the holidays, so... All that said, it does seem like it's going to be a lighter year for Nintendo.
Yeah, well, and I mean, even just noting that the partner showcase that we have later this week, we usually have a full fat Nintendo Direct in February. This is going to be a precedent breaking year, right? Where we will no longer be able to confidently look at the calendar in future years and be like, we always get a big Direct in February, because we don't now.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, interesting to see how it all unfolds. Interesting to see what 2024, there's too many 20s in there, I think.
Yeah, I think you said 2024.
will be. It just all seems so chaotic right now, honestly.
Yeah, let's run through the next couple stories, because they all sort of like build the what is this next year?
Yeah, so we have Microsoft's presentation from last Thursday that we had talked about. This will be the third week in a row that we are talking about this
yes.
Microsoft presentation. So they released like a podcast
and a video podcast, yep.
Where they, because previously they had said, hey, we have like a business update to give. And give it they did on Thursday.
Yes.
It was a full court press. So not only did they drop the podcast at this time, but at the same time, there were like features that were released on big sites like The Verge, where Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer had already briefed them and like talked to them and did interviews with them.
Right.
And they all dropped at the same time. And so
The scuttlebutt leading up to it was like, is Microsoft going third party? Are they going to be releasing all of their previously exclusive games on other platforms? That was the, I don't know, worry or rumor, or like that's what everything was sort of leading to.
And I think the three big things that came out of this are that they are going to release four, as of now, unannounced games.
Obnoxious.
On Microsoft and, or sorry, on Nintendo and PlayStation platforms.
Mm-hmm.
They are not getting out of hardware, and they teased some hardware announcement for either announced this holiday or releasing this holiday. And they have also teased like interest in a handheld.
Yes, and also tease that the next generation of Xbox will be the biggest technological leap between generations.
Yep.
Which feels like a crazy claim to me, but I don't know.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I feel like those are the highlights out of it. And it's kind of, based on all the hype, feels overblown.
Yeah.
But, like, why did this need to be said? And I think the only thing I can think of, because if Microsoft announced games for a Nintendo platform like they have previously, I think people would have been, and that was it. They were just like, yep, Hi-Fi Rush or whatever.
Yeah, Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment are coming to Switch.
It's coming to Switch. Right. People would be like, this is awesome. That's great. You know, like,
right.
People really like the buddy-buddy relationship between that Nintendo and Microsoft have. I think if they, without the preamble, had announced something for PlayStation,
blood in the water. Yeah.
I think people would have been like upset, confused. And so that's one reason I think they wanted to get out ahead of this. And the second thing is, I think it gives them carte blanche because they did this announcement.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a collective shrug from everybody.
Right.
But they left the door open because they were like, we're going to start with these four games. We're going to see how it goes.
Well, and very interestingly, the games are not identified, but they are sort of hinted at, again, sort of obnoxiously, that two of them are like smaller non-marquee games that like were never intended to sell hardware. And the thinking behind it is that that's going to be Pentiment and Hi-Fi Rush. And then two games that are like service-based games with big communities of players that are made better by more players being in that pool. And those are presumed to be Sea of Thieves and Grounded. But, you know, could be Halo. Like, you know, we don't know. Specifically called out that Starfield and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle were not among those four games,
but not saying that these games will never come to other systems.
Right. So like seemingly acknowledging, I know that would freak you out. And that is not what we're talking about right now. We might be talking about that in the future, but currently that is not what we're talking about.
Yeah. So I think by like doing this, by having the podcast, by doing all the interviews and everything, they get to have their cake and eat it too.
Oh yeah, this is that phrase that I came up with. It's really useful.
Because right, like now basically they can do whatever they want, and then they can just say, well, you can't be mad at us because we told you that this could, right? Like Xbox
yes.
fans, hey, we told you that this could happen in the future.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point. But so Phil Spencer also does note at some point during the podcast that Microsoft with Call of Duty and Minecraft and the Blizzard games is already one of the largest publishers on PlayStation, which is an insane flex and is the kind of thing that should make us all go like, oh, yeah, we should not have let them buy Activision Blizzard King. That was a mistake. They're too big. But yeah, that it's like, yeah, this is sort of always been, it has been happening through the whole merger. You know, they got sued into oblivion until they were like, no, we commit to putting these games on our competitors' hardware for 10 years. So like, yeah, I don't know. It does feel in keeping with the strategy that they would already have to put in place for the Activision Blizzard games. And just sort of being applied universally to Xbox game studios.
I also think it's just, it is a matter of Microsoft demands growth. And
yes,
this is a way for them to grow the Microsoft gaming business. Which brings us to PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Because PlayStation had their, or Sony had their earnings call. And as part of it, there were comments regarding Sony Interactive Entertainment, the division that runs PlayStation, and the new, I think he might be like Sony CFO, who is now also kind of like in charge of Sony Interactive
yes.
Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have glowing things to say about the financials of Sony Interactive.
Right. Yes. And well, yeah, let's dig into some of these specifics here.
Okay. So I think the things that I want to hit on
yeah.
is that they revised the sale forecast down for PlayStation 5s. So in the fiscal year that's ending in March 2024, they had an initial target of 25 million PS5s, which would be the best-selling year for any PlayStation hardware ever, including the PS2. And this has been revised down to 21 million, which again, still like the second best year for PlayStation hardware ever.
Still seemingly a good year, but
yeah.
not to their target. Like it's like 20% shy of their target.
Not to their target. And also they just talk about how, yeah, like Sony Interactive Entertainment is not making enough money.
Right.
And that the margins on hardware are poor, and that they want to lean into, like, what was reported as a multi-platform game strategy, but really seems to be them saying, we want to release more games on PC.
Right. Well, and some of that probably has to do with, you know, there was reporting around the cost of developing Spider-Man 2, a game that sold very well, but cost them a ton of money. And, like, that's the sort of thing where, especially being so in, like, the Nintendo ecosystem and, like, being so tuned into, like, the way Nintendo makes games that then go on to sell 10 million copies, like, you know that Super Mario Brothers Wonder didn't take the same amount of money or time to develop as Spider-Man 2, right? But they're going to sell comparably. And Wonder has, I believe, already sold better. It's like 10 million versus 8 million, right? That's all approximate. But like that's it, that Nintendo like develops for a weaker system and for a less graphically intense platform, either out of you know, that like out of circumstance, or like, is that part of the strategy where they're like, no, we don't want to have the best, most cutting edge hardware because it's too expensive to develop for it.
Yeah.
And Sony and Microsoft have just been in this race to have the most technologically impressive hardware out there. Microsoft currently bragging that their next system is going to be the most powerful leap between generations, which just means that people are going to have to spend the money to develop for that platform.
Yeah, it seems like both companies are both Sony and Microsoft are in the same place. They're just like, Microsoft's solution to the problem was buying Activision Blizzard, and yes, Sony's solution to the problem is still in the works, because it is crazy that the PlayStation 5 is still going to sell 21 million units. Again, one of like the best selling years for PlayStation hardware ever, and it is like not good enough financially for,
yes,
because how expensive, yes, it is to produce, and the games, how expensive all of the games are to create for it. It definitely sounds like Sony is heading towards layoffs this year from game developers.
Yep, probably.
Microsoft and Activision,
which is way harder to do in Japan, so like it'll likely not be the Japanese studios that
and,
it happens to.
And then Activision just laid off, you know, a bunch of people as well. And then on the other hand, you have Nintendo that can't grow fast enough currently, right? Like they,
right,
are adding additional floors to their headquarters that is under construction because they just can't hire enough developers for like the growth that they're experiencing. It's just a very weird, and so it, what it feels like, and obviously Nintendo's star is not always on the rise, but historically, but what it feels like is that Nintendo's bets that they've been making kind of since the Game Boy, where they're like, you know, like, we're not going to play the specs game.
Right.
And I feel like they've been doing it for a long time, but they really started committing to it in the WADA era, where they're like, we're not doing the specs game. You know, they didn't dive into HD development until a generation after everybody else did.
Which bit them in the butt when they made that transition.
In the same way it did, right, for everybody else. But, like, cost-wise, it must have been significantly,
right,
less to develop for HD games for the Wii U generation than if they had jumped in with the Wii.
Right, they didn't have to pioneer that. They,
yeah,
just had to, like, it was just something that they could do because people had experience doing it at that
but
point.
Because for the past 20 years that has been like Nintendo's MO, like their customers are now accustomed to this, right? Like,
right,
there's no expectation that Nintendo, the Switch is a marvel in a lot of ways, but it is not like the bleeding edge,
right,
of technology, whereas like both Microsoft and Sony feel like they have locked themselves in as like, this is the expectation from our customers, our fan base,
right,
that we are going to be on the bleeding edge. And oh my gosh, like how the costs for doing this are just becoming astronomical.
Right. And it seems like they don't have a direction to go besides that. But I mean, that's also like what I worry about in Nintendo releasing new hardware, probably next year, maybe later this year, that like, what do they introduce that isn't going to just be a closer to the bleeding edge version of the Switch. Like, do they start to put themselves in the same position as everybody? And I don't think they will, but it is kind of like Nintendo sometimes lives and dies on their gimmick, right? And the gimmick for the Switch is great. It is universally recognized that that's what we all want. But like, you know, is Xbox going to be releasing a handheld that'll let you play like Game Pass games on the go? And at that point, like, does Nintendo lose that advantage entirely? Which they're only, you know, with Steam Decks and the PlayStation Portal and like all this other stuff that allows you to approximate that experience on non-Nintendo hardware. Like, have they lost that already? And is it just the Marios and the Animal Crossings and the Zeldas that are keeping Nintendo's like advantage with Nintendo? Or like, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as far as like the Steam Deck goes, it's an enthusiast system, right? Like, it's not a device for the masses.
Now, yes.
But even, I mean,
Xbox could make a system that is for the masses, though.
Xbox could, for sure. And I think probably the appeal of, because we saw what the limitations were of, hey, this is a piece of hardware that is to play Nintendo games. That's why you're buying this. And that was the limitations that we saw on the Wii U.
Right.
And the GameCube, right?
Right. Like, yeah, you're right.
There is a market for it, but it's like 20 million people.
Yes.
It's not 120 million people. And so
I think the Wii U sold 13 million.
And so it's just, I agree with your point. Like, it is just doing more powerful Switch going to be enough? And maybe it will be for a generation or so.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it just feels like 2024 is going to be a weird transitional year for the video games industry.
Right. It's just we are in this is going to be a turbulent year. We're going to see a lot more like layoffs and stuff, and we've already seen a bunch of them already. And like Nintendo is just like flying above the turbulence right now, but I fear that they can lose altitude.
Yes.
In the switch over to the next generation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like we saw with the they've been able to hold people's interest for longer than with the Switch than they have with the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
With the Wii.
Yep.
But you know, the Wii peaked and then burned really fast.
Right.
And that did not set them up very well for a transition to the Wii U. So I do think, I mean, they know that it's hardware transitions are difficult. And
right.
They know
we talked about that
time.
Last week, right?
But also, if the new hardware is not going to be ready, it's just not going to, or the software to support the new hardware.
Right.
It's just not ready. And there's not really anything you can do about that except wait until it is ready to go. So I don't know. It's going to be, you know, like I said, like Microsoft, for all we want to talk about, like Xbox, and it's a tricky situation, they have all the money in the world. And so they bought their way out of the problem of growth.
Wait, Xbox has all the money. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Microsoft bought their way out of that problem by buying Activision Blizzard.
Right.
Because, you know, now they have enormous profits from just Activision Blizzard alone. And they can tinker with Xbox and do whatever they want. And the stakes are so much lower for Microsoft Gaming as a whole, whether, like, you know, whether Xbox turns it around next generation or not.
Right. Well, and also, like, I don't think it matters if like, the doomsday scenario of, like, Xbox does go third party and they stop making hardware. I honestly don't think that matters to their gaming division that much. Like, they would be fine just having, like, Game Pass.
Right.
Right? And, like, it would be, like, a little bit of, like, a culture shift, but it wouldn't be, like, what happened to Sega. It wouldn't be, like, what happened to the Neo Geo, right? Like, it would just be, they would continue to be Activision Blizzard.
Exactly.
On top of everything else.
I feel like this last quarter when they, Activision Blizzard's earnings were part of Microsoft Gaming for the first time, it was like a 10-to-1 scenario or something like that, where Xbox is basically just like a rounding error to what Activision Blizzard brings in.
Right. And then Bethesda is over here. Like, so it's, there's so much. Microsoft Gaming is so much right now beyond what we had thought of Xbox Studios as, you know, like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Sony is the one where it's like, I don't really know how you, because Sony doesn't have the money that Microsoft has.
Right.
And so how do you get yourselves out of this situation gracefully?
Yeah, right. And the way that they had been, like, they've been riding on their prestige, right? And some of those, like, elements of prestige are starting to dull a little bit. Not that, like, you know, Insomniac just put out Spider-Man 2, and that's, like, big for them and good, and it's selling well, all that stuff. Game cost them too much money and they spent too much time on it, but it is selling well, right? It maintains that prestige thing. Naughty Dog is another like pillar of their prestige, and they just had their Last of Us multiplayer thing canceled. So like they might have something else in the can, but who knows when we're gonna see that, right?
Yeah, and Sony's been spending a lot of money on games as a service,
right?
Like they are trying to get that Fortnite money, they're trying to get that sort of thing going, and I think that's what like the Naughty Dog multiplayer thing was supposed to feed into.
I mean, I think it had the possibility of marrying those two things, right? Because like Helldivers, which just came out, Helldivers 2, which just came out on PlayStation and PC, is a success for them. It is selling well, but it is not playing their song, right? It is not playing their prestige song. It is playing this multiplayer song. And, you know, money is money, so it may not matter. But, like, they've worked so hard for so long to develop a clear brand, and now it is just sort of turning into, like, whatever the Xbox brand was, or, like, the Fortnite brand, which would be great brands to occupy. But it just doesn't seem like their own unique space anymore.
It's also, doesn't Sony own Bungie?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And so that's, and I believe when that happened, they positioned that as like a multi-platform thing, that they weren't planning to take like Bungie's games.
Right, right. But also Bungie's games, like just Bungie's existing games, right? It seemed like they were mostly buying Bungie for the online games as a service, like know-how and expertise, so they could apply that to the dozen or so games that they were working on through the next couple of years. It's probably a lot of the like Bungie expertise that made them reevaluate what was happening at Naughty Dog and be like, this Last of Us game is not ready for prime time.
Well, and Bungie just laid off a bunch of people too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it's chaotic.
This is a Nintendo podcast. But yeah, the industry at large seems like it is in such a bizarre place. And I mean, you know, there have been so many layoffs recently at the Embracer Group, and it seems like whatever bets they were placing there just aren't paying off at all to their liking. So I don't know. I think we're just seeing a lot of investments that were made during the pandemic and during times when games were like it, right? Where they were the thing to pursue because everyone was stuck at home and could only play games and weren't spending money on experiences. They were spending money on goods, and all of that is toppling.
Yeah, it just feels like you're in, like, for Sony, you're like, it just feels like you're in a bad business if you can have record-setting years for hardware and you are still just, like, financially... And look, Sony's making a ton of money.
Sure.
They just want to make more money.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, I read something today that their valuation dropped by $10 billion based on their financial report, estimated through the end of this year. $10 billion!
Yeah.
I don't ever want to be, like, doom and gloom or apocalyptic about the state of the industry or Nintendo or whatever. And I'm not about Nintendo right now. Like, I think they're in a good place. I'm excited to see what they do next. I'm worried to see what happens to Sony and Xbox.
Definitely feels like it's going to get... I think Xbox will be fine.
They'll be fine, yes.
I think for Sony, it's going to get... It'll be interesting to see what the impact on consumers is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you own a PlayStation 5, is your experience materially... worse in the next couple of years? Probably not.
There will still be a third Final Fantasy 7 remake game that comes out that'll probably be exclusive to PlayStation, and in fact I'm sure they will spend whatever it takes to keep it exclusive to PlayStation. There will be, the third parties will, and you know, Xbox will continue to want to sell more games, so like they'll keep making their games available on PlayStation. So, like, I think everyone makes it through this.
Yeah, I think just the implications for, like, the PlayStation 6 are interesting.
Right, yes. I guess sort of on that note, there was the implication in this Sony earnings, whatever, that the PlayStation 5 is entering the latter half of its game cycle, or the console cycle, which makes sense, right? Like, it came out in 2020. We're in 2024. Yeah, about 7-8 years, that's normal. But I saw a lot of, like, hay being made about, like, oh, their son said they're panicking. It's like, well maybe. Like, things don't look great, but I don't think they're chalking up the PlayStation 5 as, like, the system they need to stop making.
Yeah. Pokemon Concierge, the stop-motion Pokemon show on Netflix.
What a transition.
That was, it was a surprise delight to me. Super fun. It's getting new episodes. The official Pokemon account on Twitter announced that new episodes are in production. And that's about it.
That's about it. We don't know anything else. Pokemon Concierge, a delight. If you have, I don't know, 20 minutes, go check it out. Maybe the episodes are short, but they're not like bite-sized,
right? Yeah, I think
right?
They're not that short.
They're like 15, 20 minutes each, and there's maybe like 4 or 5 of them, right?
Seems right.
I'm guessing at numbers here. But I watched it all in an evening.
Yeah, it is not, it's very consumable.
And it's adorable. The final episode is about a Pikachu who is shy.
Yes.
Which is just like, come on, that breaks your heart.
And I feel like in the announcement, they were like, what Pokemon will come next? Like, we'll visit the hotel next. And I truly cannot wait to find out.
Yep, love it.
Yeah, they're each like 20 minutes.
Okay.
Finally, let's check in on Splatoon 3.
Mm-hmm.
Side order coming out. Patrick, not legally obligated to buy it,
but probably obligated to buy it.
Yeah.
Okay, again, like, the gallows are going up there, and there's a man not wearing a shirt, but is wearing a hood standing next to them. So I'm not going to take my chances.
Fresh season starts March 1st. And it'll include new stages and a new Salmon Run stage.
Hey.
And some new weapons, new items. And then the results of the most recent Splatfest are in. You'll remember in the U.S. the theme was which day of the weekend is best. Your choices were Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Saturday was the most popular with 66% of the votes. But
does that surprise you that Saturday would be the most popular?
No.
It feels right.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me because like Saturday... You like Friday evening is great, but you still have like the work day.
You got to wake up.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, you got
right. The church folk didn't turn out for this one.
The church folk did not turn out for this one. But so Saturday won. No. Saturday was the most popular.
Yes.
But Friday won the Splatfest.
Yeah. And it was a one of those like nail biter close ones, like 33 point whatever percent on each one of them. So a good like non blowout as far as the actual Splatfest was concerned.
Yep.
Which team would you have been on, Mark?
I can't remember what I can't. When we talked about the Splatfest before. There's no way we ended up on Sunday or Friday, right? We must have said Saturday.
We must have said Saturday. I mean, it's the most likely that we would have said it.
That's
yes.
Right.
So yeah, I think you and I would have been on Saturday, the most popular but losing team, and I can live with that. All right, Mark, let's get out of the news. That is going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Remember, you should be emailing us, A, your thoughts about Jet Force Gemini, and B, for an invitation to the Discord if you are not already in the Discord, nintendocartridgesociety@gmail.com. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8BitBetty. You can get more of his music by going to 8BitBetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ehlers saying thank you for listening.